Recording in progress.
Checking to see if the captions are on. They don't appear to be on. Hello, captions. Hey, Leon, talk to me. Let's see if we can get these captions going. I think I did it. I think it's working. Hi, Molly. It's not working. I did the wrong thing. Try it. I'm going to try it again, okay? Ready? Is it working now? So why would the captions work on a day like this? It's asking a lot. Hey, Chandra, if you're available, why don't you say words to me and we can see if we can get these captions going.
Chandra?
Yes, Leon.
I think Lynn was
I can hear you, but I can't hear Lynn. She's muted.
I was muted, but
also I think the county is muted too.
Hey, Chandra, can you hear me now? Chandra, the county must be muted. That's exactly what's going on.
I got it.
How's it going, Molly? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Getting ready to leave this meeting. There's a lot of I was the vice president last year, and I led a couple of meetings when the president was gone, which went fine, but I have to use Robert's rules and everything, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going to...
Hello, now I want to check the... see if we can...
I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you so much, Chandra. You were right, and that it was the county Zoom that was muted, and now we have captions. Thank you. This is great.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone, I'd like to call to order tonight's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, July 17th, 2024, at 5:45 p.m. First off, could I get a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers. Chris Miner. Tony Nichols.
You have to speak in the mic and here.
Joe Omolasagie.
Here.
Elaine Quincia.
Here.
Jim Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right. Next, I'd like to get an approval of the agenda. Would anyone like to move to approve tonight's agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
All right, thank you. Can I get a second? All right. We have a motion on the table to approve the agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we have the CCMHB and DDB schedules and an updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 8. For your reference, I would like to call attention to the fact that we have a tentative meeting for August 21st, and I think maybe at the end of the meeting we can determine if we want to keep that or cancel it. Any questions, concerns, or thoughts about the schedules and timeline? All right, seeing none, we will move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary section, are on pages 9 through 20. I just wanted to note that, you know, sometimes we have some, you know, there's some fun language around program year, fiscal year, et cetera, and you can find those definitions in this section of the agenda, or not agenda, the packet. Any questions, concerns? All right, seeing none. Next, we will move to citizen input and public participation. So all are welcome to attend the board's meeting to observe and offer thoughts during this time. So we may limit public participation to 5 minutes per person and or 20 minutes total. Is there anybody in person or online who would like to share comments? All right, seeing none, we will then move on to the next section, which is chairperson's comments. So hello, everyone. I am Molly McClay, the new president of the CCMHB. I am really excited to be here and to be in this role. I've been on the board for 2 years and have really enjoyed getting to be a liaison between the community and our mental health resources, and to help steward those resources and make sure that we can serve the community in the best way possible. And I really look forward to getting to know each board member a little more than before, getting to hear from our staff members and our agencies and their expertise, and work together to help serve our community. I know we will likely have an exciting year prioritizing mental health supports going forward. I may have a challenging year when it comes to funding, but we are at the start of this program year 2025, and I'd like to focus on that right now. We got here to July 1 with our contracts, so thank you to all of our board members, our staff for doing a tremendous job getting the contracts out, as well as the agencies for your participation and your willingness to serve the community this year. We do have a new board member this evening, and so I'd like to turn it over to our next section, Executive Director's comments, for Lynn to introduce our board member and any other comments that she has.
I think we should start with that, and then I'll do so. We have a new board member appointed last month, and your term is effective July 1, and it ends December 31st this year. amazingly. So I hope that you'll love it so much that you'll reapply. This is Tony Nichols, and you can defer to you for a while.
Thanks, Lynn. Just a little bit about my background, mental health experience. Spent a little time as a foster parent and then also in foster programming, and then also a few years with the Department of Corrections, helping out at the state prison over in Danville, and then Cunningham Children's Home, worked there for a little bit, 8 or 9 years, in different positions there. And then for the last 5.5 years, I've had a group private practice in Savoy. And so I'm passionate about mental health and wanting to help the community here in different areas. I see that there's a lot of programs that are, you know, that need support, that need more help and assistance in the area of mental health that they're, you know, also passionate about, and hoping that this 6 months goes well and then reapplying. So we'll see how it goes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I got a little bit more. The contract process has been pretty good. I want to just appreciate Leon Bryson and Chris Wilson, especially for supreme patience and bringing it all together and getting stuff done. We have only one contract that's still out. I think that's better than last year.
Yeah.
Yay! So, and that's important. We like to get the payments out as soon as possible, and that's related to this has been a really interesting and unusual week in which several unique things have happened that remind me that my job really should include making sure that I can keep the lights on. So, yeah, like just lots of little things going wrong that are somewhat out of our control that, you know, we have to be really vigilant to understand what's happening. But, like, the property tax deposits are a lot later this year than they've been, there have been none yet. So they're supposed to be happening today. So those payments, like we talk all the time about why we have to keep a fund balance, and it's like just in case, but we, like, amazingly, here we are. If we make all the August payments right now, we won't have any fund balance. In fact, we don't have enough fund balance to cover all the August payments. So I have been assured as recently as a half an hour ago that the money is there. It just might not be showing up yet. So I'm not going to worry too much about it. But it's been interesting because the last week has had a number of incidents like that that just remind me, like, our work really is made up of a lot of tiny little moving parts. And we do the best that we can, and I think that our staff did an amazing job this year of, like, ushering the contracts through and being ready for payments. So yay them. I'm pleased with the agency's work on revising things up to the standards that were requested of them. That all went really well, too. Meanwhile, I want to thank board members for all the additional time that you are giving to me, and sometimes in small group meetings or just me, outside of these meetings to set the stage for what we need to do next, which is the most exciting part of the year anyway, like all the planning for next time around, all the implementing changes that, you know, maybe in response to things that we didn't think went as well as they could have in the last cycle. That's really fun for me. So I appreciate people giving me your extra time for that and for other issues that are important to us. So I'm like, this is my favorite part of the year when we get to do all the planning and kind of collaborate to make things better next time. So thank you for mentioning that. We did just start a whole new funding year, and it's a really nice array of programs, and we can provide that information easily to the public if they're looking for it. It's posted online, but we also have some documents that make it easy for people to understand, hopefully, what we're funding. There's a county board meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to go because there's something toward the end of this packet that I'd like to read to them during public participation. So I hope that you all agree with the position that the message I'd like to share with them. But it's a really good time for me to go to their meeting anyway, now that I'm feeling the interconnectedness of all of our county departments and all the operations and the importance to me of other staff who work in this building who don't necessarily have to have anything to do with us. We actually do need them. So, you know, feeling like it's a good time to go to a county board meeting. Sorry. I'll be there. And then finally, there are some... It's hard for me to retain the positives long enough to share them with you, especially on a day like this where I'm breaking every machine in sight. But the state of Illinois had applied for an 1115 waiver, which allows them to do some different things with Medicaid. And their 1115 waiver, like, part of it was an extension of the projects they've been doing. They did get a 5-year extension. These are some things that I don't know how directly they're affecting our community, but they're important projects, like to improve mental health collaboration and care coordination. But the things that are added now are health-related supports, which can include some housing supports. So that's fantastic. That was one of the options the feds were really pushing, and Illinois wrote for it, and it was approved. So that's one thing. Another thing that's really great is that they also applied for a waiver of, it's a partial waiver of the inmate exclusion. So people who are incarcerated or in the jails 90 days prior to release can have their Medicaid reinstated. So that, yes, this will save counties so much money, and it is also the right thing to do for people who have any health care needs at all who are sitting in our jails and prisons. So Champaign County is in some ways way ahead of other communities because of the Mental Health Board's investments in benefits enrollment professionals and case managers who understand Medicaid and case managers who work in the jail and correctional settings. So when I was talking with the state director of the Division of Mental Health, I told him we have people here who could help you train up correctional staff, and he said, I know. So you're on the map for some great things, but that's really important to me that the state is trying that. I think that's there's one more thing, and that is that a couple of weeks ago the feds selected Illinois among maybe 10 states for the CCBHC demonstration. That is Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinics. They're kind of similar to the health homes that that the federally qualifying health centers can do, but it's the focus is behavioral health. This is a project the federal government has been working on for a long time. It started with 8 states. It's pretty successful, showed some savings. It's kind of like a person can get all of their healthcare needs taken care of in one place, under one roof. So in communities which are large enough to have all providers under the one roof, and which have a large enough population to serve, they're a great idea. And Champaign County is one where that would work. And I thought, when I saw that Illinois was approved, I thought, I bet Rosecrans has a good chance of being selected to do this, and they were.
Wow.
So it's going to take a few years for them to have it operational, because there's a whole bunch of work they have to do on the rates, mm-hmm. and on getting the providers under one roof. So they're doing it, and I thought that is incredibly good news for us. Not this year, but soon.
Coming.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Is it okay for me to mention that you are also being recognized at tomorrow's county board meeting? Would you, for your years of service, I believe 15 years of service, is that correct? So thank you, Lynn, for your service. We will thank you here. And if you want to attend the county board meeting tomorrow to recognize her as well, you are able to. Jen Straub will be there. I will probably be there. So very grateful for you. All right. So next up, we have the approval of the CCMHB board meeting minutes from the June 12th, 2024 meeting. So I understand we do have a couple of amendments to the revisions to the minutes that we need to consider. So Lynn, would you share what those are?
Well, unless there's a board member who knows what one of them is, I did learn that Dr. Joachim's name is missing from members present. I am so sorry, and we will add that because you were absolutely present, as the minutes demonstrate. So we'll list you. The other thing is, in one of the motions, I think I can show it to you. Did you see it, Elaine?
Yes.
The vendor acceptance?
Yeah.
Oh, another.
Yeah. I saw one in 22.
So on page 22, did you see that?
Yeah. It's Ms. Dr. Joachim. But
so that's another thing I need to
fix. We don't judge, but, you know.
And then is there another?
Well, I was, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but on page 23, the motion about the well-experienced request for release of payments, I thought that we should say we withheld 1 month, did we not?
Well, it's been withheld automatically per the rules.
But we had so much discussion about it that I wondered why it wasn't reflected.
Yeah, I think the motion didn't include continue to withhold.
I thought it did. Okay.
I mean, we could absolutely check.
Okay.
Check
it because, you know, we went back and forth about it for so long, and then we decided one will be withheld.
Right.
And
right.
I thought it would have made it in. But so that was my question. If it didn't, that's fine.
I mean, Stephanie may know.
But I just wondered if it shouldn't be, that shouldn't be reflected in the minutes anyway, if not in the motion.
Okay. Oh, I see.
You see.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We can absolutely do that.
Do that.
And we'll also check to make sure that we've got the right wording.
Okay.
For this particular part, since we need to check some things, should we defer to later in the meeting to approve so that we can get time to go over to figure out exactly what was stated in the motion?
Stephanie, are you able to check the recording while we continue the meeting and then we come back to this?
Yeah, it'll make it a little more difficult to do my job right now. So if someone else could do my job right now, then I can go back and, I guess, listen to the tape.
Okay, I will. I promise I'll pay attention to the roll calls. I'll do it. Okay.
All right, and I will go ahead and place a note to myself to come back to the minutes at the end of the meeting, if that makes sense.
Just because it was so important that we decided it, you know, that I wanted it reflected in the minutes somehow. And if it's not in the motion, that's okay, as long as we
say it. Yeah, I think we could reflect it in the discussion part. We could amend that part if we are not amending the motion.
Yeah, and the reason is because it sets should we need a precedent for another time, it would be in the minutes that we had done this at one time.
All right. While we're still discussing it, were there any other additions to the minutes that we want to consider now before we return to it at the end of the meeting? All right, seeing none, we will postpone this decision till the end of the meeting. And next, we will move on to the vendor invoice lists, which are on pages 26 through 40. So we'll take a moment to review those. Any questions or comments before we move to approve them? All right, seeing no discussion, I would like to entertain a motion to accept the vendor invoice list. Would anyone like to make a motion?
So moved, Jen.
All right, thank you. May I have a second?
I'll make a second.
All right. So we have a motion to approve, to accept the vendor invoice lists and place them on file as presented. All those, this is a roll call one, isn't it? Nope, it's not. All right. All those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice lists, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. See, ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted. Next, we have the staff reports on pages 41 through 55. So we have, for your information, reports from Kim, Leon, Stephanie, Chandra, and Chris. Any comments or questions about these reports?
I had one question. When you guys go to like meetings, like the rental service providers meeting, do you have to take vacation days for that? Okay, I just said I took a vacation day for the meeting on June 17th. I didn't know if you meant like you just didn't go to that one or you took.
Yeah, I didn't go to that one.
Okay,
I was on vacation.
I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in my line of work, we have meeting days that we get, and we have vacation days, and we take meeting days to go to meetings, and we take vacations to go on vacation. I just want to make sure that was correct. So, all right, thanks.
I really appreciate you asking that. I think it's really good for our folks to have actual time off when possible.
Very much agree. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, thank you so much for this information you all have presented. So next up, we will move to new business. So our first item is our draft budget for fiscal year 2025, which is on pages 56 through 71 in the packet. So I'd like to defer over to Lynn to talk about our draft budgets.
Wow, it seems like I did these a really long time ago because it's probably 2 weeks. The first version of these was modified a little bit after I met with the county executive, budget director, and administrator. What is she called? You know. And also the budget. There's a budget staff person too. So, but I think the total revenue didn't change. So this is the first time I'm showing it to you. Basically what this asks you to approve is this page, the page 58. In some ways, these are broad. There are broad categories, and then under the broad categories, there are expenses that could be higher or lower. But within the category, we're feeling like we kind of got it right. So personnel is one thing, but then commodities will be treated as sort of a lump. So this was based on history and our estimates of what's coming up next, but it has become somewhat difficult to anticipate two things: increased prices, as you know, and changes that the auditor's office needs to make to the expense categories themselves. That's been going on for a few years. They are working to get everyone up to government accounting standards as they understand them. We think that's a really great idea. So if you see variation from one year to the next, it's sometimes just that. But other times we are concerned about rising costs. So budget is a guess. This is our best guess at this time, and the revenues are similarly a guess. Investment interest has been surprisingly high for the last few years, but who knows? Gifts and donations always go up and down, so those really are guesses. Back taxes are not deposited every year. I'm not sure why, so I didn't even know if I should put them in this year. Since this is the only page to approve, some of the details that are included elsewhere, are kind of yet to be determined, but we wanted to give you as much history as possible. And then these are additional information comparing this year to next year's budget. And then on this page, which is sideways, there's like narrative under some of the bigger categories or the categories which have been fluctuating. So you're not approving those pages. Those are just for information and also might generate questions or concerns that we could talk about separate from the budget. But, you know, before we incur costs. So.
All right. Thank you for that. I wanted to draw attention to the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and CCMHB is also included as part of this section for your reference. So does anyone have any comments or questions they'd like to share regarding the draft budgets?
Can I tell you something?
What?
This memo also asks you to take action on the Special Initiatives Fund budget. The DD board was unable to act on this morning, so it'll be a couple weeks before they can approve it. But if you approve it or have any suggested changes for it, their co-authorization is needed. So it's anyway, but that's the other thing to decide.
Was there a reason that would affect us that they didn't?
They didn't have an opportunity to approve that one today. That budget requires both boards to approve, so they couldn't discuss or vote on it. But they will the end of July.
Okay. But if we decide to, we can vote on it tonight, and then when they vote, then if both boards agree, then it would be in effect then. We would just be doing it out of order as per typical.
And then there are more steps. Like, you'll probably see it again later in the year, closer to the end of the year, because there are some pieces that we won't know until the county completes negotiations. This has to do with insurance. It also has to do with some of the things. There are a bunch of services in here that the county provides to us that we just get a bill in January for the year before. So those are really hard to predict, but later in the year we'll get some better projections on some of that too.
All right. So we do have on page 57 some possible motions that we could consider. Does anybody have any further comments or questions, or would anybody like to go ahead and make a motion?
I have a question. So if less money comes in throughout the year, does that mean we prorate it each category? How does that work?
So the 84% of the total expenditures that we're projecting for next year are associated with those agency contracts. The agency contracts are 6 months of this year's budget and then 6 months of next year's budget. So if you get less money during 2025 than we're expecting here, one place that we have to cut are future contracts that haven't been developed yet. I'm not minimizing how hard that could be to make decisions like that. It's just that because we're using, the majority of our money is going out on a July 1 to June 30th cycle, but our revenue is coming in January 1 through December 31. It gives us an opportunity to right size every year. It's also really awkward for budgeting, but we've been very lucky in recent years, but it could happen. It did happen. So thank you. That's a great question.
If there's no other discussion, I will make a motion to approve the attached draft 2025 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,085,019.
Second, Straub.
We have a motion and a second. We will be taking a roll call. Is this a roll call one? Okay. Thank you for your patience as I get acclimated to this particular part. So we have a motion to approve the attached draft 2025 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,085,019. Can I get a roll call?
Joe Omosage.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Do I call the names of people who I know are not here? Is that right? Lisa Liggins Chambers. Not here. Chris Miner. Not here. Okay. Tony Nichols.
Yes.
And Molly McClay.
Yes. All right. We also have the opportunity to approve the attached draft IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll move for a motion to approve the attached draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $239,063 with equal revenues, including transfer of fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCDDB action.
All right, thank you very much. So we have a motion to approve the attached draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $239,063 with equal revenues, including transfer from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between CCDDB and CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCDDB action. Can I get a roll call?
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers. Chris Miner. Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omo.
Yes.
Yes. It might have been on for part of it.
I apologize. I'll be more careful.
All right. For the record, all members present voted yes. So now we will move on to our next item of new business, which is the anti-stigma film sponsorship with a memorandum on pages 72 through 76. Lynn, would you share more about this?
So this is a tradition. This is something we've been doing for a long time. It has changed over the years. The focus kind of, it has changed with the times. There was a large agency with an office right across the street from the theater who were able to use it for their annual fundraiser back in the day. So that was, at that time, it was really easy to get a lot of other agency involvement in supporting what we were doing. There was a lot of excitement around it, but it's kind of shifted. We have a lot of partners who still like have ideas and are involved, but the involvement has changed a little bit. So I tried to make some notes in here about that. To me, the thing that has shifted that's so important is the artists were finally invited inside, which they wanted for years and years. I kind of liked the carnival outside and that they could take advantage of traffic, but this is not what they preferred. They wanted to be treated like festival guests, and it happened. So I sort of like love it again, like a lot. Anyway, there are other board members here who have experience with this event, so I don't know if there's anything that I should explain, but maybe y'all. Is that okay, Molly? Do you want to open it?
Yeah, okay. Any board members who've been involved in this program before who would like to share or attended in any way, please do.
I actually have a question, and maybe I'm skipping ahead. So I happened to be in attendance for the very last movie of this year's festival, and Chaz kind of let the cat out of the bag that it's possible that this event will not be happening this year. So I guess my question would be is, at this point, you're just asking for a $15,000 sponsorship, and then if they don't do the event, it's not like we ever transferred money, I take it. Okay.
No, you are absolutely right. Between Chris Wilson and the rest of the team, we won't be paying for it until we're sure that it's going to happen. That's a lot of money to just throw out the door. And so we typically don't pay it until the year. But so we've got lots of time. But I appreciate that. I've heard that rumor before. I didn't realize it came right from her.
Yes. As they were doing their final stuff, she kind of said, I will probably get in trouble for saying this, and just put it, and there was just this, like, collective gasp. I mean, it almost gives me, like, you know, goosebumps, and I'm not, like, a, you know, whole film, you know, person there the entire time, but I was like, that's huge. But just attendance has been down. There's financial. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into this festival that it was possible that there might have to be some changes. So.
Yeah, I know that she's been running it since her husband Roger Ebert passed, and I think I had heard like potentially sort of retiring the festival. I guess I was wondering, like, if the festival didn't happen, could there still be an opportunity for an anti-stigma film in some other form, and the art show. Especially the art show, I was wondering if that could happen in another
Over the years, we've explored lots of other events, both anti-stigma films in different settings, different contexts, and then art shows. And I would say, like, it would be very hard for us to put something that huge together. So, but, you know, there are nice opportunities for art shows. So, but I don't think we would need $15,000 maybe. So I think like this would be a best case scenario. It continues. We do a film. We put all our celebrations around it. It's wonderful. But if they don't do it, then we figure out a different way to use money, whether it's maybe not this much money, but to support these type of activities. A lot of organizations are hosting film screenings now that we could just co-promote them or something like that. I think there's a lot of potential for smaller events. Yeah.
Awesome. I wanted to see, Joe, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little about your participation this year's film.
This year's film, and I don't know how many years I've been on the panel, but this year's film was really moving, but also getting a chance to perform with Kishibashi was it was for lack of a better, it was almost whimsical. I said, okay, let me see if this would happen. Could I had someone bring him one of my drums over and asked him backstage, and he said, yeah. So it was, but one of the things that I always go back to, one of the Ebert quotes, is that movies help us learn a little bit about our own empathy by watching something on screen. And then doing it in a collective environment is powerful. And that was powerful. And lots of the movies over the years have been very powerful in getting people to think a little bit differently about stigma, about how we treat one another. And yes, being on the panels has been great. Performing with Kishibashi was great. It's just, I still believe that when we set aside a lot of our differences and we watch something together and we can see and hopefully feel the passion of the movie producer or the filmmaker, we learn something about ourselves and we learn something about our society. And that's always been part of the reason I want to keep being part of it. Because I started doing some of the, being on the panel before I was on the board, and it's been a wonderful experience. I mean, I would go to the first time I was on the panel was a few months after my brother ended his life, and that was a very powerful movie about mental illness, and it was powerful because I could see the brilliance of my brother in the performance of in the movie, but also in the person. It was a real life story. I can't even remember the name. The violinist? The soloist. Yes, and it was powerful. And yes, I've worked in mental health for almost 40 years, but being on the panel and being a part of that conversation and asking the community to be a part of our conversation about mental illness is powerful and something that I hope we can keep doing, because it's, even if we don't have Ebert behind our name, have something like this that we can do.
Thank you so much for entertaining my request to call on you to share. That was, I think that speaks volumes about the potential that this event has to bring the community together, to have a shared experience of empathy, which is greatly needed. So with that, I'd like to move to approve $15,000 to sponsor an anti-stigma film in Roger Ebert's Film Festival 2025 and to authorize the executive director and staff to issue payment. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. So the motion is to approve $15,000 to sponsor an anti-stigma film in Roger Ebert's Film Festival 2025 and to authorize the executive director and staff to issue payment. Can I get a roll call? I guess I should ask for discussion. Any discussion? We're still getting used to this. Seeing none, do I need to repeat the motion, or can I just ask for the roll call again? All right. May I get a roll call, please?
Were you the first one last time? I think so. Okay. Jen Straub.
Yes.
James Brandel.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers. Chris Miner. Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Joe Omasagie.
Yes.
Elaine Play.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. That motion is approved. Next, we have a memorandum of understanding with the United Way for 211 services on pages 77 through 79. So, Lynn, would you share more about this memo?
This has been the United Way and the Champaign County Mental Health Board and the DD Board, because they pay a portion of it, have partnered on 211 services since the beginning of 211 in this community, and it was a rough start. So I didn't put that in the memo, but we have poured a lot of energy. A lot of people have worked on improving the service outside of the money to the agency that provides the service. There's been lots of help from there was a student project at the university that actually won a prize, and is they're presenting on it now at a conference, that helped to expand the online database that this provider uses for their 211 resources. So this is something, a partnership that we have with United Way that is very active and really pretty positive. So we don't want to have infinite MOUs that the board never gets a chance to reapprove. So it's basically the same arrangement that we've had, but it's slightly rewritten to set a cap on how much the mental health board would pay, regardless of what the agency is charging United Way. So the deal so far has been we pay half, but now United Way is willing to cap it at what is half now, so that if they end up with a bigger bill, that we're not going to have to change this memorandum of understanding. Maybe it's a couple of years, I think. Is that what it says? I don't know. It's good practice for me to bring these things back to you every 2 or 4 years anyway, but it was time. It had expired. Does this expire? I think we don't have service agreements that go on for more than 4 years, so this would be probably revisited in 2 years, since this is a... The agency providing services is threatening to raise the cost a lot, so this is a great time for us to lock in a maximum price. Anyway.
All right, thank you. Any discussion?
If there is no discussion, I will make a motion to approve the attached Memorandum of Understanding with the United Way of Champaign County for 211 services at an annual cost of $11,250, pending similar approval by the CCDDB, and to authorize the Executive Director and Board Officer to enter into the agreement.
I'll move for a second.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion? right, seeing none, I will call for a vote to approve the attached memorandum of understanding with United Way of Champaign County for 211 services at an annual cost of $11,250, pending similar approval by the CCDDB, and to authorize the executive director and board officer to enter into the agreement. Can I get a roll call?
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers. Chris Miner, Tony Nichols, Joe Omosagie,
yes.
Elaine Palencia,
yes.
Jen Straub,
yes.
Molly McClay,
yes. I believe that ends our roll calls for the evening. Yay, because that was a lot. But we will go back to those minutes at the end there. So. So next up, we have the a memo on setting the stage for 2025 and 2026 on pages 80 through 87, which is the exciting planning memo that Lynn has referenced. So we'd love to hear more from you, Lynn, on this one.
It is exciting. I'm sorry, and I will keep it really short. This is the starting point. It's where you're at right now with the objectives for 2024 in that strategic plan. And I think last month you authorized us to extend the plan goals for one more year so that we will align our three-year plan with the other three-year plans that are in place regarding community health. But update the objectives for next year. So I listed the objectives briefly under each of the 10 goals. And then the current funding year that started July 1, these are the priority categories with the summaries that sit underneath them in the current set. And there's like a little bit here about how much money we're spending under each priority right now. And then I did not include a whole lot about the other criteria that the board uses to make decisions, but those are really important. So the final section is about the application process itself. There are things that I want to know from y'all that may be really hard to go into tonight. They may be just things to think about and get back to me, such as, like, are we giving you enough time for various stages of the process? Are the questions we're asking on the application really getting to what you want to hear about? Is the review process itself working for you all? Those are, so anyway, this is so much content for the things we need to work on over the next few months that we turned it into a survey, which I will send to you after this meeting. Two surveys, and all the questions are optional. It's optional to even take the surveys, but I just wanted to create an opportunity. If there are things that you are thinking of outside of what you put in the survey, we absolutely want to know about that too, because this is a great time to start those conversations. Okay, that's it.
Any discussion on this memo? I did have a question about, so this is under the suggested actions in the final paragraph where it discusses, on page 87, where it discusses changes we could make to the process for reviewing applications. And that some of this, so there was a mention of potentially having hearings in February where agencies would inform the board about funding requests. And it's mentioned that there's some of this is related to approaches used by other similar boards in Illinois. I was wondering if you could speak to that at all, like what some of these other approaches are in brief, knowing we may be talking about it further in the future.
So I'm involved with the State Association of Mental Health Authorities. Leon and Kim Bowdry, and I think actually everybody is involved in some way in the State Association. But right now I'm the president, so I'm in a lot of spaces with new mental health boards who are asking questions like, how do we decide what to fund? And so I'm learning what all of a sudden I'm learning what all the other mental health boards do, and what we do is kind of outside. Like there's a board that the staff doesn't review any applications or comment on any of them. The boards do 100% of it. It takes like a lot of time and a lot of extra meetings, but it's 100% done by the boards. That would require a significant change in our timeline. And I want to acknowledge that this board is distributing a lot more money than most of the other mental health boards who have these fun sounding systems. Like they're probably talking about 10 applications for funding instead of the huge amount y'all get. So
you may be looking for more board members if we go to that, because
this is,
I work full time. I'm a busy lady.
Thank you. So this was very surprising to me. And then I learned it wasn't just this one. There are several of them that the staff don't do any part of it. I was like, wow. I mean, it's a major part of what we're doing in the spring. So I just thought you should know, though, that there's a lot of different ways to do this. What this board used to do, Elaine was there during the time of the old way, where the board members had very little involvement in any of the review. And so we've understood that that wasn't working very well. It was probably not good for anybody. So we've shifted. I don't know if we've shifted enough. So this is one of the open questions for y'all to contemplate and get back to me. Anyway.
I'd like to openly express my appreciation to the mental health board staff, because I don't want to do it that way.
Well, and I have always said, too, I don't mind diving into some of these. But, you know, our staff deal with this day in and day out. They also know the federal, state, county laws. I don't. I mean, there's things where I might be like, well, why don't we do it this way? Because that's a law you can't break, Jane. I mean, you know, so I am excited to maybe like do a little bit of brainstorming and maybe a little tweaking, but I'm probably not for the idea of, yes, give Jane 10 applications that she is the sole like presenter. No, thank you.
Any other thoughts on this that folks would like to share?
Got to try to make it good for the new guy. Okay.
I was just going to say, please do not scare him away.
We could get into like what the process has been, but it could change. I mean, one thing I've thought about is, you know, when we have there are a couple of meetings in April, a meeting and a study session where the board members kind of take turns presenting different applications that are available. And I think everybody presents it in a little bit of a different way. I've definitely heard a lot over time about like, this is kind of stressful. Like what am I even talking about? And I was thinking about like, what are ways we could streamline that part so that when we're in our meetings and have an opportunity to ask questions of agencies, like how can we be like more strategic about the time we have so that we're not going and asking a lot of questions after the meeting, and actually everybody feels good about their part in the meeting and their part of the review of the application. So I think that's part of what the surveys will get at, and maybe some other conversations too. There's no motion needed for this one, but if anyone would like to share any further comments, this is last call. All right, seeing none, we will move on to the last item of new business, which is an input to county board item on pages 88 to 93, a memorandum that is directed to the Champaign County Board around community needs assessment support for expansion of paratransit services. So, Lynn, would you like to share more about this?
Well, I try to keep it to one page because it's a county board. I felt bad. I don't know if there's really a chance that more of the ARPA money will come back, but if it does, it has to be reallocated quickly. So I was speaking with a county official about things that you can spend money on quickly, and this thought came up, and then we happened to be at a meeting with a whole bunch of other community leaders, including the director of MTD, and I thought, I paid him a visit several years ago with a person who was much more active as a family advocate at the time. We talked about the expansion of paratransit. I can point to data. It's easy to find up until back up to 2011, but I know the data go further back than that, showing that one of the greatest unmet needs in Champaign County for people with disabilities is paratransit or transportation options. Then I watched a county board meeting quite recently where they had a study of what older adults need, and transportation services came up. I looked back at our combined community needs assessment from 2022. It's there. So there's lots and lots of data demonstrating that transportation options continue to be a big unmet need in this community for people with disabilities or medical needs. And I thought, well, that'll fit on one page. And then I got some really great letters from people who were giving us input about this, and attached those letters. They get into much more detail about what could be expanded on or changed with short-term funding.
So I have a question. I apologize. So for the paratransit, is that limited to Champaign-Urbana, or does that do like Rantoul and rest of the county?
Do you know it is limited, right?
So my understanding, which might be the wrong understanding, is there is the C-CART program that goes anywhere in the county. I'm not sure if those are the same things. But I do know from talking for years now to the C-CARTs folks that we leave money on the table all the time because they don't have a match for federal monies. So I'd like to learn more.
So this afternoon, after I read this, I called up a friend of mine who is blind and who... This information is a little bit old, but she went to the U of I, graduated, and later in life decided to come back and live in Champaign-Urbana. So she came back in 2015. And she was here for, I think she left 2 years ago. She found the paratransit system was very good, but I would probably get some of this wrong because this... But the Voc Rehab stopped training older blind people on the MTD system, with the result that she never was able, she's a smart woman, to figure out the bus system comfortably. And they just stopped. I mean, it. And so, and she said she was called by a counselor from, you know, the state Voc Rehab and said, well, we're not going to do this anymore as of so-and-so. So she had to move away. She went back to California and, you know, but this had been the place she went to college and she thought I can come here. And the place that she could find a place to live, it was over a mile walk to any grocery store. And so there she was, you know. So that's kind of a personal, you know, I wish she had written a letter, but I just read this and thought, so that's a part I didn't think about, that not getting the training and the training not being available. So I don't know how that lack could be, you know, fulfilled and then.
Well, and I do think it's something we see frequently, people who are needing transportation. You know, my good friend here, Jen, I often send her notes and say, hey, there's a lady in Rantoul who's homeless but has a dog. Is there anywhere she can go? I mean, so I think you know, because I'm kind of a Facebook junkie, I see all these needs and I want to help. And I think this is one of those things where, you know, I've heard of paratransit. I've heard of the, what was the other one? CCAR. But I don't know enough about them. But I want to be part of the change. And like you said, that's a great, you know, testimony of someone who thought, I'm in Champaign, Urbana. You know, surely I can navigate this. And it didn't work out. So I'm thrilled that you're bringing this to the county to say, hey, we want to be part of the solution. What can we do? So.
And did you want to add something? You looked like you were going to add something earlier.
I mean, I think
earlier.
That's actually something we could add to next year's funding priorities, that transportation training, because the ARPA money has to be used quickly. So vehicles, software, there was some discussion in one of these about upgrading their database, getting some training for their staff. Those are quick, but training for how to use the buses, like that, if a person has a mental health substance use or DD, we can put that in these priorities. For people with other disabilities outside of the mission of the two boards, we could advocate. Okay.
Lynn, do you need any, there's no action requested, but I guess I just want to express my support for you to share this with the county board, and knowing that that you are choosing to use your time being recognized for your service to share this concern with them is very meaningful. So thank you. Any further discussion?
I just wanted to explain. So the ARPA money at this point is all allocated. It's just that a lot of these, not a lot. We have no idea. We have a lot of idea. Very tired. So it was $41 million. And there were a lot of really great projects. And many of them have been completed. And those bills are paid. Everything is good. There are a couple projects where there are still, you know, things are still coming in. If any of that funding is not used or can't be used, then the goal is to scramble and find ways to keep that money within our county. Because if we don't use it, if it's not allocated, I think it has to be allocated by the end of this year, and it has to be used by the end of 2026. Very tired. If it's not used, we have to send it back to the feds. And the goal is, you know, we definitely have need in our county, right? So this is fantastic. I just want to caveat that with, even if everyone on the board thinks it's fantastic, we don't have any magic money right this minute.
That is very good information to have. All right. Any other comments? All right. Seeing none, we will move on to our old business. That was a lot of new business for one meeting. We first have an update from our evaluation capacity building project from the UIUC Family Resiliency Center.
Good evening, everyone. How are we doing? It's hump day. The end of hump day, right? It's almost Friday tomorrow, right? So happy to be here and give a little update, and also to ask for your insights and input into a suggestion that we have. So we are continuing with our technical assistance. We're continuing with our actually four of the programs, so we increased that this year by one. And we are also planning for our trainings for the next year. And so that brings me to one of our questions is, so one of the recommendations in our report was to have this cross-communication between board members and agency members, and to have learning occur with that. And so one of our ideas is to take a storytelling workshop and having board members from one of the boards come and work with agency members from the other board. So there is an impropriety about, if you say this, I'll fund that type of thing. But to get more of a cross understanding of what each one is trying to communicate, what they're looking for, and what effective communication would be across both, to get different perspectives. And so we were hoping to have an in-person training where board members and the members of different agencies would come and learn these best practices in storytelling, and then have some kind of activity where they're actually working with each other to help each other communicate their stories a bit better. So I guess my ask is, does this idea resonate with you? Does it sound of interest? And if we were to have such a workshop, if it was like an hour and a half or 2 hours, would you be willing to or have the time to commit to such an experience?
Thank you. Open for comments from board members.
And I would assume you would only need like a couple of volunteers from the board to do this.
Well, ideally, we would love everybody to come, and we would be very inclusive. So there's so many funded programs that it would be interesting if we could have as many board members, so that we can make sure that we spread the love of wisdom between both. So as many as possible, but not it wouldn't be required of everybody. Yeah. So.
Well, we would have to probably be careful about Open Meetings Act, like, mm-hmm. you know, because we technically can't all be in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long
we
as we're not.
We just can't talk about business.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the concern was that if all of the board members were meeting with agencies that are programs that may be funded by the DD board, that if the mental health board members who are present are not discussing mental health board business, then it would technically not be a mental health board meeting that we would thus have to advertise. That is correct.
That is probably technically correct, but I would question if it's legally correct. I know when I did school board, if there were three of us standing outside talking about the Illini basketball, we were actually technically in violation because people would assume we were talking about school board education.
I mean, it's a quick email to the state's attorney's office, but no, like if I decided to get married, I mean, I'm already married, but if I decided to get married tomorrow and invited you all to come, you could all come to my wedding. It would be legal.
I think when I joined the board, I was like, wait, can I just like get together with everyone? And it was like, no, not exactly. I mean, Lynn, would you offer any input on this from maybe it's wrong for me to defer to you, but.
Well, I'm not an attorney, but I really like the very careful attorneys. And so they, like, if you ask an attorney, they usually do say no, right? It's like we could ask, but expect that they're going to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that Jacinda and her team talk with me about sometimes is the care we need to take in not creating an uneven, yeah. like anti-competitive advantage mm-hmm. for agencies that are funded right now, who might mm-hmm. be applying for funding next time, and then agencies mm-hmm. who apply for funding who don't know any of these resources. Like it's a line that we're, you know, always kind of talking about, and that's more what I would worry about mm-hmm. than y'all like yeah. talking business or making a right. decision. Just that, you know, anyway.
Give a little background too, so we're creating a best practices in reporting and so forth that would be a micro learning that would be in the public realm that would have to be reviewed before coming to this. And this would be an active, like, so more of an experiential learning, I guess, experience than, oh, this is my program, you want to fund it, and this is what you're going to tell me that I need to do that. It's more of a perspective-taking type of exercise, which the perspective-taking component of it would be already mentioned in the micro-learning that says that this is a best practice that you should be doing when effectively reporting out to people or storytelling. So our hope would be that we would have, and also maybe a one-sheeter also that's publicly available in both reporting and storytelling and whatever the best tips and tricks are, I guess, that would be reported out. So it's just an idea. So if it gets completely squashed down from a legal standpoint, then that's then abandon ship with that one.
I think it sounds wonderful. It's just I think we need to just double check a couple things. But I would be willing to be part of that.
I would I think it sounds very powerful. You know, a lot of the funding that all of these agencies do, whether that's looking for grants or, you know, looking for donations or all those things, really depends on how they're able to communicate their impact, you know, to the people in charge of the pockets. And, you know, none of us are immune to that in our own passions, right? I'd definitely be willing to do it, and I think most of us would, just speaking from no experience, actually. But, you know, as my good friend Jane pointed out, we are all quite busy, so it would just be a scheduling issue.
I suggested Friday afternoons this morning, and then people, that's already been taken. Like, can you believe it? But so we'll figure it out amongst as many who can do it, so we would take your schedules into account.
Any other board members want to share their thoughts on this idea?
I mean, I agree with everyone else. So as long as it's after work, I'm fine.
I think I'm kind of seeing it as like a twofold decision process. So like thinking about like in theory, like from my perspective, I'd be very willing to participate as long as these sort of legal components around, is this a meeting? Is there like a competitive advantage issue? Like if those pieces are like taken care of and addressed before setting this up, then I would definitely be willing to participate. And maybe, I guess, if it is technically a meeting, could it be something that is then published and more open to the public that more people could participate in? Like if we have to make it a meeting, could we actually roll with it rather than it being like an idea that doesn't happen? Go for it.
There is on the board's schedules, there's a joint meeting in October at this time. But we do, like, it was there for a different purpose to discuss the, like, whatever future priorities for the Special Initiatives Fund. But we've talked about not touching that next for the next season. So I don't really have a topic for this. So there's something already booked if it came to that. But I think a really good place to start was if I get from you, like, the right words to describe it so that I'm not misrepresenting your idea. And then I can forward that to the state's attorney, civil division chief, just for some advice. I think that is a great place to start, because if we can do it the way you're conceiving it, let's do that. But that's a great backup plan, and it's partially already structured. So, okay. I mean, it might be a good thing to do anyway, too. Okay.
So it would probably be in spring, because we're going to create these other micro learnings beforehand, and then it would be after they've applied. If that helps.
Don't do anything in the spring. just review applications.
So scheduling may be a challenge, but I'm hearing that, you know, and no board members, of course, would be compelled to do this in any way. Like, but I'm hearing some positive interest in this. So I hope that is helpful feedback for you.
Great. Thank you so much. And we're planning to have an online training this fall where agency members will go through learning how to choose outcomes and have reviewing the current repository and going through all of that too. So just letting you know that's up and coming for the fall as well. So, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Next, we have our Disability Resource Expo update on pages 94 to 98.
There's a legend about these memos in the office. These are written by the consultants who are professional writers, and sometimes their memos get really good reviews. So I know, like, they're showing us up. They're not available to speak to it right now, but I think that, you know, they've just hit the high points, like, what is going on this year? They're really worried, as they were last year, about making this year's expo even better than the one before. And I kind of say, like, just having the expo is a miracle. Like, you know, but they don't see it that way. They want it to be bigger and better. They've got some really interesting and fun ideas, just not a lot of people to help implement those ideas. So it's, you know, again, late October is the target date. And there's a little sponsorship brochure here. It's my impression that they are getting some sponsorships. Like, it's, they were real worried about that. But we're getting checks almost every day. I forgot to check the mail today. There's probably money sitting in there that I just missed. So some things are going really well. And then Ms. Sprandl is very involved, so she may want to speak more to this. I would say there's two things I want to say. One is that I'm convinced that all these little expos and resource fairs that everybody else is having are our best marketing strategy. We do have somebody going and sitting at those and talking up the expo and giving out the book and sharing about its history. And that's a really good way to advertise the event. So I love that that's an opportunity. The other thing is, even with that, we really do need more people. And I'm so happy to learn that all of you can all be at the expo all day together and it's not a meeting. But I know you're volunteers, so I also know that's not going to happen. But you could.
And I will reiterate what she said. You know, it seems like every time I open up Facebook, or even now the News Gazette occasionally, you know, there's all kinds of fairs, you know, with all the great community involvement we have in our community. And so I'm glad to see that we're doing like some back to school fairs. There's one I noticed that Promise Healthcare is doing one up in Rantoul, which I'm glad that we're heading to Rantoul, things like that. And so we're going to more of those. I do know that they had went out to Tolono Fun Days a few weeks ago, and they really didn't have a lot of people stop at the booth. And I guess that didn't surprise me. So I almost think we need to fish where the fish are. And I think people are going to these other, you know, resource fairs, and I think that's where our time is best spent. But my opinion isn't always listened to. But that's for another story.
Any discussion?
Work to go to the farmers market. You know, they have their.
You know, I don't know. And I don't know if there would be a cost involved with that. You know, I think several of you who've been on the board with me for a while, you know, I'm a very frugal person. And so I really like to give recommendations of, let's do this for free. Let's put it in a church bulletin. Let's put it on this website. Instead of saying, sure, we'll pay $50 to be at the farmer's market. And I don't know if they would charge us or not, but it's very possible.
I would be really happy to fund that. This is a manpower problem. I mean, we've talked about it year after year for the artists. And the artists could take turn having a booth, but you have to be there quite early. There has to be a person setting up the table and helping people. And it gets so hot that I think some of the people who really drive this, who have disabilities and medical conditions, could die. And so we keep talking about it like it is a good idea, but we aren't really sure how to properly support it so that people are safe and it's that they're selling their art or promoting the expo actively. I do think someday we'll figure it out. Someday we'll get a really good fan and. It's just a manpower issue, really.
But that is a good idea. And if you guys do see like an event coming up, you know, if you want to even send it to me, I can pass it on, you know, to our coordinators and see what they think. But yeah, sometimes it, you know, and even if it's, you're like, hey, if someone gives me the flyers, I'll go do it, you know. You know, again, I don't know if any churches with lesbians be at their bazaar, you at least have a few little pamphlets there. You know, that's one of my things. It's very easy and really cheap to do like 3x5 flyers and drop them off at an event. We wouldn't have to physically always have someone at these events, but again, my opinion.
Do the agencies that we fund have, like, usually have these at, like, their front desk or wherever, like, posted on their, in their offices for clients to know
I
about?
I know that when COVID happened, which you can attest to this, you know, it used to be you could just leave flyers at doctor's offices, and then they're like, no. So we've had a few issues with that, but we're starting to be able to get a few flyers into places. Again, you know, I've always said, you know, now we're in a digital age, you know, not so much do teachers put a little note in their kids' book bags on Fridays, but they might send an email to their entire class. So I suggested, what if we put a little blurb and we send it to the teachers or whatever and say, hey, would you share this in your weekly letter? You, we might get a little traction that way, especially if it's to a special ed classroom or something like that. And again, I feel like any teacher or whatever, because just because you don't have a special ed child in your classroom, they might have a sibling or a preschooler or something.
Well, I'm glad you brought up technology. Do our posters have QR codes for people to scan that goes to the website?
I want to say yes. We have had some technology issues in the past. Like, we tried to do like our survey at the Marketplace Mall last year, and they had changed the Wi-Fi, so that was a nightmare. So I'm a little like conservative on using too much technology, because sometimes it has failed us, unfortunately, lately.
Well, I'm just saying, because if you have a flyer at a doctor's office, right, and they run out of flyers, if you just have it posted on the office on the wall, they can just scan it while they're waiting for their doctor to come in, and or like physical therapy's office, you know, or developmental pediatricians, or, you know, anything like that, I think would be it.
Well, and again, I don't want to like dump the apple cart, but wouldn't that be cool on the side of an MTD bus too? But I don't want to stress anyone out.
I tried to promote the idea of like, this year on our t-shirts, let's have a QR code. Oh my gosh. I don't know if you were on that email thread, but I got shot down really fast. That was... It was like the dumbest thing they ever heard of. But those guys totally know how to do QR codes. So I think if you say that's what we want, I'm sure they can handle that. And the people who wrote this memo and who do the coordination also create all the promotional materials. So it's no big deal for them. But sadly, it won't be on the T-shirts. I mean... I thought it was a fun idea.
I don't think you want people coming up to you with cameras trying to scan, wondering if they're taking pictures. Yeah, or at the back, too.
Like they just, already, you know what, in my life, that actually does happen. So, yeah.
Maybe on hats, that would be okay, but yeah.
Well, definitely some lively ideas shared this evening. I mean, I was thinking of the winter farmers market, but it's like not the right timing for the expo. But it could be the right timing for the artists. So that's an option. Well, I will go ahead and move us forward to, we're almost through the agenda, successes and other agency inputs. So this is an opportunity for agencies to speak, both in person and online. Limit individual participation to 5 minutes and our total time to 20 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to share any agency input? All right, no one in person or online, so we will move forward. Next, we have board-to-board reports. As you can see, page 99, we have a list of the agency board meetings and our board members. I just wanted to make a mention that being a liaison to an agency board is always an opportunity for our board members to participate in. So if there are any of you that would be interested in attending an agency's board meetings, Lynn, what would be the process for signing up for that?
Contact Stephanie Howard Gallo. Right, Stephanie? You've always done the liaison stuff. She receives the board minutes, and she knows when agency boards meet and can make the connection.
Awesome. Anyone who is currently attending a board meetings, anyone have a report to share? All right, seeing none, moving on to county board input from our county board representative, Jen Straub. Any updates?
No.
Maybe everyone is excited. I don't know. Next is Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input.
They met today, but did not have a quorum in the room. So they had a discussion of everything that did not require a vote or action. They skipped those items to just being cautious of the law. And we will meet. They are required by law to meet in July. That's one of the only requirements they actually have. So we figured out that they can do it July 31st. They will be able to go through a whole bunch of the items similar to the ones that you've just talked about. Otherwise, and they decided not to have a meeting in August because even with this morning's holdup, the activities that needed to be accomplished so far have been, and then we can pick up the planning stuff in September. So that's it.
And my understanding is they also elect their board officers in July, so they are also required to meet this month to do that because that could not occur today. All right, next is board announcements and input. Any board members have any announcements or input? Seeing none, so we have, I guess, two items that are not listed on the agenda, one that was on there earlier and one that is just not an item, to go back and amend and approve the minutes.
So Stephanie reviewed the recording, and the motion that's in the packet is correct, word for word. I thought of something. The entire transcript, a written transcript of the meeting and the recording of the meeting are posted publicly, so they do contain the information that you're looking for. So if you think that's strong enough documentation of the precedent that decision set, then we could not add that to the minutes. But if we were going to add it to the minutes, it would be in the descriptor, like you said, the blurb right before that motion.
Well, the question, I guess, is where would board members look? You know, would board members go back and look at, you know, transcripts, or would they look at minutes? I don't know. I don't care either way. But I was just thinking of availability to our discussions.
Well, the details of your discussions are never memorialized in the minutes. That's sort of like they are recorded, and that's why the recording gets posted. And we have on the video there are closed captions, which are, I have been editing those to make sure that they like are actually English, which it's getting easier. And there's also a transcript. I'm looking at the page right now, and I don't know why the county IT staff posted that, but that makes it even more helpful. Yeah.
I had a suggestion of some way, a very brief way that we could at least reference that there was a difference in the request and the motion, which would be under on page 23, under the well experience request, we could say a letter from the well experience requesting release of March, April, May, and June 2023 payments et cetera. And then because the motion does not mention June, it would like indicate that we opted not to release the June payment. Would that be a way to capture the discussion very briefly without writing a new set of sentences?
I think that's a great idea.
But Lynn, isn't the May and June payment combined?
No, Chris split it and held the June payment only per this board discussion and decision.
Okay.
All right, so on the table we have a few adjustments to make. We have the addition on page 21 of John Paul Joachim to the members present. On page 22, we're striking Ms. the motion.
So sorry.
And then on page 23, we will be adding the phrase requesting release of March, April, May, and June 2023 payments to the portion on the well experience request. Were there any other adjustments before I have to make a very awkward motion or very long and cumbersome motion? All right. Just by chance, did anybody write all of this down so I don't, who could just read it? Otherwise, I will make the motion that has everything in it.
You can just say the edits as discussed at the meeting.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I will move to approve the June 12th, 2024 meeting minutes with edits as discussed at the meeting. Can I get a second?
I'll second that motion.
All right. All those in favor of approving the June 12th, 2024 meeting minutes as edited, as discussed in the meeting, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The meeting minutes as edited per discussion are approved. So the last item that isn't on the agenda is, should we have the August meeting? It is marked as tentative. Lynn, do you think we have, can business wait until September?
There really isn't any business developed at this point for August. So I think like some of the things that you and I have been talking about that would be nice for us to work on, we can work on two people at a time or folks giving me direct input, whether through the survey or through emails or individual conversations. If you're okay with that, we don't really have any business that will need to be attended to in August. There is one other tentative meeting on the schedule, and that's December. And that one is kind of, we might need that if we don't make enough progress with the next stages of planning or if there's a special topic that you want to cover. But I don't really have a special topic for August, but we could.
Is there anyone that feels strongly about having a meeting in August?
No expletive, but no.
Right, seeing that, I'm going to state our August meeting that was tentative is not going to happen and call our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, September 18th, 2024, at 5:45 p.m. right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administration Building. And with that, I move to adjourn this meeting. Have a great evening, everyone. Hey, we did it in an hour and 36 minutes, which with that number of new items, I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for moving things fairly quickly, which was not necessarily expected. So have a good night, everyone.
Recording stopped.